The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Beyond and hello, everyone. My name is Jonathan Dornbush, and this is Podcast Beyond, IGN's weekly PlayStation show where we dive into all of the latest and greatest in the world of PlayStation and sometimes the whole last year of PlayStation, because this week is actually a pretty big anniversary. But before we get into all of that, I am joined this week by Jada Griffin.
Hello, hello.
Hello, glad to have you back. And Mark Medina.
I'm back. Sorry I missed last week, but I am once again returned. But you can't dislike the video because YouTube disabled that now, so I'm back. That's why I'm back now, is because you can't dislike me anymore.
Exactly. You'll just have to tell Mark his bad opinions about what sequels are on Twitter. But yeah, we've got a big show to talk about this week, because it is this week, in just a couple of days from when the show goes live, is the 1 year anniversary of the PlayStation 5 being out and officially available. And though it is still very hard for a lot of people to get it, we want to look back on the last year for the PS5, how it's been, the games that have released, the updates that have been there, obviously the both sales success, but the availability problems that still exist, and dive into all of that. So we'll be jumping into a lot of that, including your feelings about how that year has been. But before we get there, I do have a couple bits of housekeeping to do at the top of the show. The first comes from the desk of Seth Archibald Skellington Andrews Cooper Macy. Guess what? It's November, which means you need to start seriously thinking about the gifts you plan to give this year. Fortunately for you, we've got a live stream coming up to help you find the perfect gift for anyone on your list, even if that person is you. Make sure to visit IGN.com on Tuesday, November 16th at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, to see Seth Macy, Brian Altano, and Akeem Lewanson as they help guide you to the perfect holiday gifts.
I will say, yes. My favorite person to give gifts to is myself. And also my favorite person to receive gifts from.
Ooh, yes. Yeah. Do you wrap gifts for yourself?
No.
Okay.
No. I just, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah.
You know? I know exactly what I want. So yes. It's perfect.
Yeah. The best gift giver for you is you. I like to get.
I'm not going to wrap a bunch of Burger King gift cards, Dornbush. Come on, man.
It's very like a small amount of paper to use there, to be fair.
Sure.
But yes, if you want to tune into that live stream again, that is Tuesday, November 16th at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Other than that, also want to mention, I did drop this on Twitter, but for those who may not be on Twitter for their sanity, which is probably a good thing, we have decided and wanted to let everyone know that unfortunately we're not going to be doing our Bloodborne Let's Play spin-off side series that we have done a couple of installments of. We started doing that show back in 2020. It was literally the last thing I recorded in the IGN office before we all had to go home for COVID and the pandemic setting in. We had intentions for that show to be something we were filming in office. It was going to be a big production. We had a lot of big plans for it. Obviously, we have done one episode per year since. There was one in 2020 and then one in 2021. Unfortunately, it's just impossible to get the crew that we wanted to for that together. So we're not going to be moving forward with that as a spinoff series for Beyond. But we really, really enjoyed doing it. And we thank everyone who enjoyed watching it, who was supporting it and tuning in for those. We had a lot of fun. Hopefully we can find some fun Let's Play ideas in the future, but yeah, that one just unfortunately won't come to fruition. But you know, we'll all turn our Soulsborne attentions to Elden Ring in just a few months anyway. And last but not least, I did just want to mention, because I realize it's a thing I technically haven't addressed, and what better time to do so with the two of you? I haven't told you I'm doing this, but obviously you may notice Jada and Mark have been on the show quite frequently over the past few weeks. And, you know, obviously we are all extremely busy at IGN, but if you haven't noticed, Lucy, Brian and Max are particularly busy, and so being on week to week for them has just been extremely difficult with all the responsibilities they have going on. So we want to widen what the Beyond family sort of looks like, and so we're having Jada and Mark on a lot more regularly. It doesn't mean you won't see Lucy, Brian and Max on the show, of course, but it's just a thing of, you know, to set expectations, don't expect them to be back week to week, because they are extremely busy and extremely busy in different ways every week. But I am really thankful to both of you for having been on the last few weeks. They've been a lot of fun, even Mark, when you've had to miss. It's been a lot of fun to have you both on the show, and I'm excited to keep having you both on as we go on forward.
Is us being on Beyond, does that out us that we're not busy?
Yes, yeah, you're both extremely lazy, I think is what I'm saying.
I don't do a lot, I'll tell you. I wake up, you know, yeah. I'm like an old-timey author, you know. I wake up, I drink coffee, I check the stories, and I start writing at like 4-5 yeah. p.m.
And then you write for about 20 minutes and then you're good. Yeah. And then Jada, of course, there's only one social platform IGN is on. So you don't.
There's only one social platform, yeah. But I'm on that one and I'm doing everything else at the same time. So, you know,
you both are extremely busy as well. But I appreciate you, you know, being able to take the time and wanting to be on the show more. And just the way I think the best way to put it is the way Lucy, Brian and Max's schedules have been and will continue to be just makes it impossible to nail it down for week to week for them to be on every week. So that doesn't mean you won't see them. They will still be on the show when they can be. And we're excited to have them back on when possible. But I've loved doing the show with the two of you and a couple other faces like Matt Kim and Mitchell Saltzman, who you'll also be seeing here and then. So yeah, just look forward to a few more regular faces in the rotation, I would say.
I think the best way to like explain it is that like Max and Brian specifically get pulled onto shoots that people mm-hmm. don't really see, and the shoots that, you know, that's why I wasn't on last week, those shoots are usually unmovable, which is why it's like, okay, I was able to do Beyond you know, a Tuesday at 10:30, so then when your fire alarm thing was going off, I assume you explained that on last week's show,
why it was
different. It was just like, hey, we need to move to here, and I was like, cool, can't be on, like, because I was on one of those shoots, and like that's just kind of what happens. So yeah, they are very busy boys. And then Lucy, she just does more than I can even comprehend.
I'm her direct report. She's my boss, and I still don't understand how she gets it all done. And I literally work with her on half of it. Yep. So yeah, again, they are certainly still part of the Beyond family. I don't want anyone to think that like they are suddenly going to disappear from the show entirely, but just obviously they haven't been on too much recently, and I don't want people to like question that. So that's the long and short of it. As Mark said, a lot of those shoots that Max and Brian get pulled into are often, some of them are often very last minute, and some of them are very long and impossible to move because there are so many moving parts. So, you know, they'll be on when they can, but just want you to know that, you'll see a few more regular faces rotating in, and we've got a lot of fun plans in store, because my God, is next year going to be busy.
But before, so busy.
Before we get into next year's very busy release rollout of way too many games for me to comprehend, I'm already getting a little anxious about it. Let's look back at the year that was. So November 12th, just a couple days from when this episode goes live, is the 1 year anniversary for the PlayStation 5's launch. It launched back all the way back in November 2020. Who can remember such a time? That both feels a year and also 12 years ago. We kind of want to look back at sort of, I think, the big things that have worked, what hasn't quite worked, how it's been as a first year. I think we'll sort of give our general thoughts as we wrap up. I certainly have a few thoughts about very specific things I think that haven't worked, but I do think it's been overall a pretty solid first year, especially looking back at something like the PS4's first year. Jade and Mark, I don't know if you all remember, but after launch, I think Infamous Second Son was almost the only major exclusive. There was also PT. That was just about it for the first year of the PS4 after
launch. And what an exclusive it was.
PT was so exclusive. Also,
I still have it.
I don't, and it bums me out. I loved it so much. But anyway, We're not here to talk about PT. That's for another day. So let's get into it. Let's talk about the games and everything. And I think obviously we can start sort of within the context of the launch lineup and everything. So maybe let's start there and then we can look at the rollout after. But, you know, now with a year's sort of perspective in mind, Jade, I'll start with you. What do you think about the PS5's launch overall?
Ooh, you know, it's a solid launch year. We got some really good titles right off the bat, you know, like Miles Morales, and I really loved Bugsnax as well as Astro's Playroom. And you know what? For me, it wasn't so much of expecting a huge lineup of PS5 games at launch. It was more of a, I know there's going to be stuff coming down the road, and I want to get this PS5 before the scalpers get to them. So that was my main reasoning for picking one up day one, is because I was ready for the next gen. I had the money. I was able to snag one, luckily. And yeah, that was my thoughts on that, like the initial burst. But over the first year, you know, I've gotten to play a lot of my old school PS4 games that, you know, got remastered or upgraded for PS5, whether it was just a simple load time, such as like, I think it was Last of Us 1 got cut down to like 12 seconds this year. And it was just ridiculous to go back and replay that game and have virtually no load times on almost any section of the game. But yeah, I think that's really the biggest thing for me that I've really loved this year, is just like no loading screens. Like, you just don't see them in games anymore, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like most of the ones that I see these days are a couple seconds at most, which has been really nice. But yeah, I totally think you're right there. I think that's a really interesting thing, especially paralleling back to the PS4, where it wasn't backward compatible and you just had whatever was on the PS4. Whereas like, I think there was a lot of sort of hand-wringing about the lack of true next-gen exclusives at launch for the PS5 and the Xbox Series X and S, to be fair. And we've only gotten, you know, a handful or so in the first year. But that is because at the end of the day, the realities of development and how big of a massive install base there is on that last generation, and also the pandemic, you can't deny that certainly has played a part in so many games' development tracks. But Mark, for you, how was this launch, you know, specifically that window and then the year after?
Yeah, the PlayStation 5 has been, I love the console, but man, is it, it's been so up and down, right? So like at launch was my favorite like time with the console, right? Because there wasn't a whole lot of games that like people could play together, right? But they introduced a new feature that didn't exist on PS4, which was the screen sharing. And so me and you know, like three of my friends, we would play Astro's Playroom. Like, to me, Astro's Playroom, in my mind, that's a multiplayer game, because there was almost never a time I played that game that I didn't have other people's screens and we were like playing together and finding secrets and stuff like that. Same with like Bugsnax and Demon Souls. We would all just like share our screens, and it was this weird like magical time where it was like one person was playing Bugsnax, the other person was playing Demon Souls, and the other person was playing Astros, and yet we all lived together in this like virtual roof and played games together. So it was this weird like virtual gamer house. And that was something I only did at launch and almost never did again until very recently, when me and a friend were trying to platinum Death Stranding at the same time, and we were screen sharing and just playing. The launch of the PlayStation 5 was great. Since then, it's been just, you know, a lot of people would probably not want to hear it, but to me, it's the PS4 Pro Max, right? It's the PS4 Pro. Like, there hasn't been a lot of things other than loading times where you're just like, is this something that I could have just played on PS4 Pro? Except for that, it just looks prettier and has a better frame rate. But that, like, for me, a person who appreciates those things, I'm very happy with the console. It's also been a very confusing on what is a PS5 game, right? Like, there are two different versions, and Ghost of Tsushima is the perfect like example of this, where you have a game that gets a PlayStation 5 patch, right? And it becomes a PlayStation 5 game, even though it originally launched on PS4. And then there's a game that just got like a frame rate patch. So the first example of that was like Days Gone, right? Like, Days Gone is not a PS5 game. If you download it, it still says it's a PS4 game, but it runs at 60 FPS. And Ghost of Tsushima, it got that as well. It got this like weird patch, and then it got a PS5 version. And so that stuff has kind of been this like weird like puzzle to try to like solve. And so I don't think it's been the, while I appreciate the backwards compatibility, I don't think it's been like the smoothest implementation.
I mean, until the recent firmware update that very specifically labeled PS4 and PS5 versions of the game. I mean, that was the thing that was one of our biggest news stories at launch, was that like people kept downloading the PS4 version of Call of Duty because they didn't know how to find the PS5 version. And yeah, it's a very interesting...
it would like download both and it would take all your storage space.
Yeah. Well, and even more than that, because Call of Duty is so big. But yeah, it's it's this weird, interesting thing where like I appreciate that they approached the UI as this brand new thing, because it gives that excitement of like, oh, this is a new piece of tech and I'm getting to explore this whole thing. But they made some weird, like fundamental choices that just were puzzling, and they've slowly been fixing some of them. And I think the PS4 and PS5 like labeling and downloading system has been a part of that. I think, like, at least for me and maybe both of you as more trophy inclined might agree, but the fact that trophies were the way they were at launch and then finally changed to being vertical again was just like, why did they even do that? Why? It worked so well.
They went so hard on the cards.
Yeah.
And then they made the trophies cards, and I'm like, this is awful.
Yeah.
I actually liked the card system, but I will agree that it is much more usable when it's set to a vertical versus horizontal style. I didn't really mind the cards. I know it really ruffled a lot of people's feathers, but yeah, I totally 100% agree. It's so much better with the vertical kind of listing and such.
So the cards is an interesting thing to touch on just briefly. I do think it is not like inherently a bad idea. In fact, I think it's a pretty good, cool idea, especially to get you into specific parts of games, or when devs are using the game help, like to have that so easily accessible right there is a really great thing. I think the problem is, and it's sort of the same thing, we can talk about the DualSense widely with this, but it's the same sort of situation where it's like only so many people are really using it well that it defeats the purpose of this being so integral. And I think that's the biggest problem, is just that, like, you know, outside of PlayStation games, I think Bugsnax used it really well for its game help. I think Remedy has used it really well with both Alan Wake and Control, the PS5 versions. They like really went all in on the game help. But other than that, I don't know of a non-PlayStation published game that really impressed me by its use of the cards.
This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meat space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue. The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn, because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice? One NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married, Let's Hear Them Talk About It. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily, NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK, so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for? None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cyber criminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot-button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
I think the only game I've used when it comes to like the hints and stuff like that was Astros, just because it's like I didn't know where something was. Yeah. And you could just click on the card and it would, a little video would pop up and just show you where it was. And you're like, oh, cool.
And I used it with Tsushima over the last weekend because I missed like one or two of the shrines that you'd like, the hidden or unmarked shrines. And I was like, what are these unmarked shrines? I know I've been bowing at like basically anytime I came to like a statue or anything, I was like, I'll bow at this. Maybe this is an unmarked shrine. I opened up the little game card and it's like, oh, it's the signs with the person bowing. That makes sense now. Yes. So like I went and found all those ones that I just hadn't bowed at and finish it in like, I don't know, 2 minutes. So
yeah,
there's something I want to clarify really quick. That's when I say like that, it's largely been the same as PlayStation 4. I want to emphasize how much I care about the way games feel and the way games look. Right. Frame rate and stuff like that. And so I appreciate how powerful the PlayStation 5 is, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I go back, when I think about the, you know, of course you can play Far Cry 6 on a PlayStation 4, and I'm sure it runs fine as Far Cry 4 or 5 ran. But because they look and feel so good on PlayStation 5, like it, that is really, really important to me. I don't know if I got it across that I really, really do love the console. It's just been a weird kind of launch because we are hitting this point, right? Where I remember it was a big thing where when PlayStation 4 came out, it was like, can any of these games exist on PS3? Because PS3 is really when it like pushed that threshold of like these big open world games like Dragon Age and stuff like that. And then it's like, well, we just have more of that on PS4. And now we have more of that on PS5. But like, what do you expect, right? Eventually games are going to get to a point where, you know, the big revolution right now is the SSD.
Yeah.
PC gamers have had for a long time.
To your point, and I appreciate you like clarifying there. For me, your point very much lines up with Tom Marx's op-ed that he put out before the console's launch, which was like, go in with your expectations tempered. And not to say that any of the PS5 exclusives that we've seen haven't looked amazing or haven't run very well or haven't been amazing games, but like the escalation from one console generation to the next has gradually been diminishing over time. You know, like from the PS1 to the PS2, you see a huge jump. From the PS2 to the PS3, you see a huge jump. From the PS3 to the PS4, you see a decent jump, but not as big. And then from the PS4 to the PS5, you see a jump, but again, not as big. And I think to your point, like the SSD is going to be a very big deal, but until it's something that developers have been developing on for years, we're not going to see the full extent of its interesting use. Like so many of the things Mark Cerny talked about in the lead up to the PS5's launch were like, you know, this will let you load games in a different way on the back end, so you don't have to build in hallways or long climbing sections or, you know, ducts to climb through to mask loads. But people still have to do that because they're still making games on PS4 and Xbox One. And it's like, that's just fundamentally how they've been designing games. And so until they think about that stuff majorly, and we're seeing small tweaks, I think, here and there. But I think until we see that stuff, the true fruition of what the generation is going to be isn't probably going to show up for another few years.
It's why we start seeing the best games towards the end of a console's lifespan. It's because the developers have finally figured out, oh, hey, I can do this. And if we arrange this level this way, we can get away with fitting this much extra stuff into our levels or into our game. They learn all the tips. They learn all their tricks as they develop. It's not okay, cool, I made, you know, God of War on the PS2. We can just apply these same exact principles for God of War 3 on the PS3 and the same principles for God of War 2018 on the PS4. It doesn't work that way. Everything is very different from the foundation of the development of the game itself. So that's why I'm always looking forward to what the end of a console generation looks like. You know, it's kind of, you know, it sucks to think about it like, oh, you know, why get it at the start if the best games come out towards the end? But there's I like seeing the growth. I like seeing how the generation evolves over time, which is my personal reason why I'm usually a day one adopter on most consoles.
For sure.
Yeah, the big example of that is the fact that Uncharted 1 and The Last of Us are on the same console generation. Yep. Yeah. You're like, yep. Wow, one of these looks like a mascot, cartoony, like platformer, and the other one's like this ultra realistic. Like,
yeah, and so that was just me trying to like, and hopefully Mark, that lined up with what you were thinking, but that was just very much like, I get where you're coming from on that in terms of like, I really love this first year, and I actually do think it's a better first year than some people give mm-hmm. it credit for, but I do mm-hmm. I totally agree with you in terms of like, what I am playing doesn't feel like a complete revolution from the generation before. It's just it's continued improvements now is where we're at, and so I'm just excited to see people experiment with that stuff.
I think, you know, the the big joke is like, hey, I can't text you back, the games don't have loading screens anymore. I think it became that I got used to that so fast, right? I'll talk about this later, but I'm going to talk about it a little bit now just because I've been playing Forza Horizon 5 on Series X exclusively, and then I needed to make a video where I played the game on Xbox One, a base model Xbox One, and when you load a race, it shows all these different camera angles of the car, and then the race starts. Never thought about the fact that the camera angles on the car, that was it loading the race. Yeah. I never realized that was the thing, right? It would just show a couple glimpses, and then until you play it on Xbox One, and you're seeing every angle of this car, and it's just going on and on, and I'm like, what is it? Oh, it's loading. I never realized that this was a loading screen. If Far Cry 6, another example, is like, I'll click and it pops up a loading screen, but that loading screen lasts like 4 seconds. I don't even know what it would be on PS4. Probably more than 4 seconds.
Yeah. And it's been, and so, yeah, I totally think it's smaller increments and things that we don't fully realize or appreciate until we see that sort of stuff compared so directly. And, you know, to your point, another thing for you caring deeply about how games look and feel, obviously, it's become sort of more the standard of, you know, having both quality and performance, or I guess is it performance and quality are the frequently used words? Am I?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I just usually go with whatever it's on and then maybe switch around. I'm a person who like frame rates don't really bother me that much, but I know I'm sort of rare in that camp sometimes. But I, you know, that's become more of a standard of having those options available across the board with more native 4K and whatnot. But On the feel side, I do want to ask you both about how you feel the DualSense has been since launch. Mm-hmm. You know, Mark, you were mentioning Astros, and I still think Astros is the best use of the DualSense so far. Still the most fun, still the most like almost Nintendo-like experience, where it was like, here's a really cool idea that we made, and here's a game that fully takes advantage of it. But maybe Jade, I'll start with you. Like, have there been other experiences that really stuck out to you with the DualSense? Has it been living up to expectations? Has it not been?
I love the DualSense. I think it's great. I think they're doing a really good job of like introducing a new dimension to what it means to like for a controller and what we, you know, experience in our games. I wouldn't say that it's been like super transformative yet. I would agree that Astros is definitely the best use of the controller so far. I used it in last year's Call of Duty, and I actually just finished this year's Call of Duty as well. And I noticed that the triggers were a lot, you know, they start off very resistant in last year's. And so I got to a point where, you know, I was playing on veteran and I was shooting so many people, like my fingers were just getting tired. And so like I ended up turning that off because it got to be too much of a hassle. But I noticed this year's Call of Duty didn't have it nearly as much, and I didn't have to adjust the settings. So I think also this first year they've been experimenting with like how much is too much tension when you're, you know, pulling on the trigger to shoot or aiming a bow or anything like that. But yeah, I really liked Astros, and I think I really like the voices and stuff that come out of it. Those are really great. But I mean, we've had that since PS4, so nothing too new out of that. But I think it is a little bit improved the PS5 at least
for sure. Mark, what about you?
Astros, obviously the game was built for DualSense, right? Another great one would be Ratchet. Every weapon feels different.
Oh yeah,
very for you know, for a reason. And Ratchet also did a really good job with haptics as well. Everyone talks about the club scene at the beginning where you walk into that club and you hear it, and you hear this like, and you feel it, and it's not just rumble. Like it feels
it's a pulse.
Weird.
Yeah.
It feels very, yeah, it's like pulsing. It does. It feels awesome. For Call of Duty and games like that, I actually do turn it off a bit because it's more distracting to me than like immersive. Especially in like multiplayer, I don't want people killing me with their triggers that they're able to just pull instantly while I'm over here like trying to shoot a shotgun. You know, a lot of, like, not that I'm competitive in any sense, but a lot of competitive people, even on PS4, they change their triggers where L1 and R1 are their aim and shoot, just because you don't want any resistance between you aiming and shooting the gun, and the DualSense adds all of the resistance. And so it's actually something I turned off immediately. I turned it off for Deathloop as well. I thought it was a little too, like, I was like, I don't need this. But then for something like Returnal, I think it's awesome because they use it mechanically, right? The half press is your normal, yep, but then you're all the way is your super and stuff like that. That's where I think it shines. And again, in Ratchet, I think it's fine. For Vanguard, to hear that it's been toned down a bit, I'd actually heard that previous to this, makes me think that if I play the campaign, it's something I'd probably keep on. Not in multiplayer, though. It can be a little bit too much. Same with Back 4 Blood. I turned off the triggers instantly. I was like, eh, it's a little,
no, yeah,
a little too much.
The more we go into this year, and let me know how you both feel, but like the more we've gone through this year, and I hope people continue to use the DualSense, because I do think like advancing rumble is a really cool idea because it's essentially been the same for several generations. But like the more we go through, the less I care about the adaptive triggers. I agree. I think Returnal and Ratchet used it pretty well. But other than that, it mostly is just like a tension push that I don't need to have to deal with. Like, it doesn't make the game more fun. But the ones that use the interesting haptics to simulate things in the game, I think show me the potential. And I just want to see, I want to see more of that, because I do think like having really fun play experiences like Astro's are really good. But I think of in Miles Morales, Spider-Man, the first scene you're on the subway station, or you're on the subway train, and the train is going by, and it rumbles like you are on a subway train through the controller. And it does that like through. And that's what it's like being on the subway. You feel that rumble and it simulates that. Or he gets a text in his right pocket and the right side of the controller makes a soft kind of rumble, and then stuff like Returnal, the pitter patter of the rain is falling down around you as you're running through Atropos. Like, those things that simulate the world that you're in, that you couldn't get that simulation just by loud rumble, is the coolest stuff. Like, I love that, and I hope we see more of it.
The Returnal thing, pairing that with the 3D audio, like when you open up your thing, you can feel the rain, and then you can, it's like ASMR. Like, you feel like you can hear raindrops on your helmet.
Yeah.
And then, one more thing about Astro is like, that's the first time in a long time that I felt like people would come over and I'm like, yo, you have to feel how this springy boy feels. I haven't done that like since the Wii, right? Yeah. Like, being able to like show people like how the golfing feels. It's like, look how it feels when you're the monkey climbing. Like, it feels amazing. Man, I love that game. I feel like I need to replay it.
I know.
So good.
But yeah, it's those small things. And I think as more developers find ways to do that stuff. But yeah, you just saying Returnal, even just pausing Returnal, and yeah, being in that space of the helmet is so great. I do think it is worth asking. Oh, my light just went out. How we feel about 3D audio's use so far, or like any games that have stood out to you for it? Because obviously it's a thing here that I think is going to stay. But is there anything that's like really, really stuck out to you in the first year so far?
So I can start with this one. So it wasn't on a PS5 title specifically, but I replayed Last of Us 2, and going through and being able to lockpick the safes enter the combination just purely by sound without having to scavenge through the world with using the, you know, finding the wherever the hidden code was for the safe combination, just being able to listen to the clicks in my ears. And like, yep, that's one. That's another. Cool, it's unlocked.
I didn't know that was a thing.
It's totally a thing in Last of Us 2. It was probably one of my favorite things about Last of Us 2. I love the game, but yeah, that was like one of the moments that just really stood out for me. But yeah, I totally agree. I think 3D audio is amazing. It really helps me when I'm playing Returnal, because I can hear enemies are approaching from whatever side. And sometimes, you know, that 1 millisecond of hearing somebody on your left is the difference between your, I forget what the gauge is called, but your combo gauge, adrenaline, mm-hmm. your adrenaline gauge, breaking or not breaking, which could make the difference in how much money you have to buy the next upgrade. So I totally love 3D audio. I hope they keep pushing the boundaries on it and making it better. I know that's one of the things that they were really pushing with PS5, and I think it shows so far.
Yeah, I think it sounds good. I wouldn't say it's blown my mind as much as I have the Pulse headset. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's not the best headset to use for it. I don't know. I figured it would
it
be.
It is the PlayStation headset.
Right. I think it's fine. Far Cry 6 seems to be a really good example of it for me, because you Danny is just kind of like in your head, and it makes you feel like you're her, I guess. I personally wouldn't say it's like completely blown my mind where I notice the difference. Again, I've been playing Forza with a headset, and I'm like, yep, this sounds like a video game versus playing something on PS5. Sounds like a video game in a headset. Mark Cerny hasn't scanned my ears though, so maybe that's probably the problem.
I forgot about that. Yeah, we really got to get those ear scanners going, Mark.
Come exactly.
No, I do think a really interesting thing that's going to happen, it came to mind, is Jada, you were talking about some of your experiences. Something that I hadn't thought about, but a couple of the developers I've spoken to, specifically on Ratchet, a really interesting thing they had said was the way they program the DualSense haptics is sound based. Like all that stuff is much more sound based than the way you typically had programmed Rumble. And so they're thinking about sounds in the world much more differently, which can also further enhance the way they approach the 3D audio and all that. And so like, I can see those two things very much escalating hand in hand as we get more just pure next gen exclusives, because they relate vaguely in the same sphere. I'm talking a little bit out of my ass right now, but like those two feel like the most promising aspects of what the PS5's feature set is that I hope we see more of. But I very much am with both of you. I think there have been some really great examples, but nothing that has like redefined the game experience for me. But you know, we've gotten exclusive wise we've gotten Astro's Playroom, obviously Demon's Souls, Returnal, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, and Deathloop on the console exclusive side, and then a few cross-gen exclusives in there, both first and second party, and forgive me as well, Destruction All-Stars. You know, I do want to move on a little bit just to make sure we're on time and talk about the availability and sales success of it. I know you both have talked about this a little bit before, but like, man, these things are still really hard to find for people, huh?
Yep, they sure is. Yep.
I do want to ask, because I do think it's a little bit of both, but like, do you think any of that has to do with the fact that we're all just more online in our lives than we were back when the PS4 and Xbox One came out? Or do you feel like there's just also, we are seeing a very clear also escalation of bot use and scalpers and things like that?
I think it's a little bit of everything. Mark, you want to go ahead?
Sure. It's something I've never seen before, honestly. And I know it existed, like the bots and stuff, but man, it's so frustrating to like, I had websites open and I had them open on my phone to try to secure PlayStation 5s. And luckily I was able to secure, I was able to get everything I wanted. I got two PS5s, a Series X and a Series S at launch. But it makes me think that if I wasn't able to secure those by pre-ordering them, I don't know if I would have them, because I've tried to get another PlayStation 5 since launch, just for a separate room, and I'm not like in the game, right? I'm not like retweeting, looking at the deals and stuff like that. But every time I've seen it and it's like, hey, they're about to go on sale in 10 minutes. Like, I don't even feel like I get even any close. I just bought a Switch OLED online and there was like 4 people in line in front of me. And I was like, oh yeah, because people don't buy consoles like this anymore. They buy them all online. The only next gen console I've seen in a store a year later is I saw one Xbox Series S at a Target, which is the one that's been the most available.
Yeah.
But other than that, the idea of walking into a store and seeing a PlayStation 5 seems so foreign to me, and I don't feel like it's ever going to happen. I don't know what will happen eventually, but it's been weird.
years from now.
I think, you know, so like I was saying, it's a little bit of everything that's just kind of culminating together at this point. Like, everybody is using the same chipsets between graphics cards, the PS5s, the Xbox Series X's. Yes, they're different chipsets, but they use the same material to make these chipsets. The new electrical cars are eating up a bunch of our those chipsets, which wasn't a thing 5, 10, 15 years ago. It just wasn't a thing. Also, we saw last generation, there was a bit of a lull in how easy it was to get consoles, but it didn't last nearly as long as this generation. And I think that was, you know, last generation kind of was started to increase in the bots and scalpers because of the previous generation when PS3s, you remember the whole hassle with trying to get a PS3 with the 60 gig or the 20 gig that had the backwards compatibility. Those are really tough to find. Thank goodness I still have my 60 gig and it's still working, knock on wood. But those were really tough to get. And so like scalpers started buying into that market, and then they started doing it more with the PS4 and Xbox One. And now we're seeing it, you know, like that, they started turning profits last generation. So of course they're going to do it with this next generation. It's only going to keep getting worse as people continue to buy from scalpers. So don't buy from scalpers, people. Just, you know, wait, be patient. I understand Christmas and holidays are coming up and you want to get your kids or friends gifts or yourself a gift, but you're hurting the industry, you know, long-term. You're hurting everybody else long-term with buying from scalpers, because it shows that the system works and people keep doing it. But also, you know, it's not on us to fix. This is on the organizations that are selling the systems to fix, to be honest.
Yeah, no, it's tough. I really understand everyone who like is desperate to get these things, because it is the brand new system, and it is the, you know, especially as the holidays come around, it's, you might have kids you don't want to disappoint, or family members or significant others, or just yourselves that you don't want to disappoint, as Mark said, you know, give gifts to yourself. There's very clearly real crises going on, and it's not just everyone working from home delaying things. It is supply shortages of chips. It is massive, as you were saying, Jada, like distribution problems that are ongoing. This is a very side tangent, but like, I don't know if you guys get Boba Guys at all in the SF area, but I love Boba Guys. They have repeatedly talked about on their Instagram how the supply chain is so bad for them that they are like not able to get specific cups that they buy, because like worldwide shipping is just such a problem. So it's like, okay.
Well, Starbucks is a big example of that too.
Yeah.
Starbucks, they're just like out of everything all the time.
Yeah, it's very clearly a real problem. And then when you get into the chip design shortage and things that, you guys may not know this, but I just saw this in our Slack. The Steam Deck was just delayed by 2 months.
Was just going to bring up the Steam Deck, because that was the most recent example of this was, that was awful. The Steam Deck pre-ordering was possibly the worst. I had much easier time getting a PlayStation 5 and Series X, but I tried to get a Steam Deck and it was incredibly hard, and I ended up grabbing one.
Nice.
The most expensive one, of course, because that was the only one I could get. So now I'm really sad.
In their specific letter, and obviously this is aside from PlayStation, but they were like, we did our best to work around the global supply chain issues, but due to material shortages, components aren't reaching our manufacturing facilities in time for us to meet our initial launch dates. And yeah, like this problem has only continued to get worse around the world when it comes to machines like this and the PS5 and the Xbox. And so it is really frustrating to see, especially when scalpers are taking such advantage of it. And it is... it makes those sales successes that we see feel a little bit hollow sometimes. Like, it is awesome to see that like the PS5 has hit 13.4 million sales. It's like the fastest selling PlayStation, the fastest selling console in North America. It's doing very well, but we have like no way to know how much of those are authentic buys and how many are people, you know, reselling those for triple the price. And
it's like, it sold this many, but then the game only sold this much. And it's like, because all the ones that were sold are sitting in somebody's, you know, spare room, because they're trying to sell them on eBay.
Yeah.
It's funny. I didn't think so much about the chip shortage until like 2 months ago or something like that. So like when a new Tesla car comes out, they're like really, really hard to get. And so very famously, Ryan McCaffrey, he's a big Tesla guy. Like, he waited a long time to get his Tesla. And then I decided I wanted a Tesla, and I waited until I could just get one. When I bought my Tesla, I got it 6 days after ordering it, which seems insane. at any point, right? And that was 2 years ago. Now, if you want to buy a Tesla, somebody was asking me about it, and they're like, yeah, I want to buy one, blah, blah, blah. And you go to the website, you won't get it until like April. And I'm like, what? Why? And then I realized, oh, chip shortage. Yeah. Like, it's so funny how the Model 3s were really hard to get, and then they got really easy to get, and now they're almost impossible to get again. The moral of the story is I have a Tesla.
that was a gift to Mark. Yeah,
that's a gift for Mark. I think also the big thing is the audience is growing. You know, when we were kids, we maybe had one, maybe two generations that were buying consoles regularly. Now we're that older generation, we're old. We've got at least, one, two, maybe three generations now that are, in front of some people that are buying games and that they need to buy consoles for. So there's a bigger market now for gaming, which is why gaming is, topping the charts. It's one of the few industries that are growing sales wise during the pandemic versus other ones that are, losing sales. Gaming is for everybody, and the audience is just going to continue to expand as time goes on.
Yeah, and I hope we can see PlayStation, they have their PS5 direct sales website. I hope we can see them continue to lean into that and really build that out, not just for the eventual PS6, but like for this generation to be a direct-to-consumer way for them to ensure people are, people who care about getting a PlayStation 5 can get a PlayStation 5 better. The big box retailers need to figure out these systems a bit more for online. Obviously, everyone went into the pandemic not knowing their websites were going to have to be the sole function of people buying these things, but that's the reality of it. That's how people are buying these things more often. It's going to only continue to increase, and they need to get those systems to be better. So I do hope that changes in the future.
Wonder one small thing is, I have a friend, his name is Travis, and he's been my friend for a long time, and he did not buy a PS4 in the first like year or so. And the reason he didn't buy a PS4 is because he said, I have so many PS3 games that I don't have, that I won't be able to play on PS4. So like, why would I buy a PS4 for like the like five games or whatever that I want to play when I could just stay with this? Where he got a PS5 day one because your entire library moves over. So it makes me wonder like how many people that would have been hesitant to get a PS4 are not feeling that hesitancy because they're like, well, I'm just, again, like I said, I'm just getting a super upgraded PS4. My entire library is going with me. So it makes me wonder if more people are quicker to be early adopters.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, I'm very curious to see how that increases within this next year or two as well. But yeah, obviously, as we get into further generations, especially whenever we get whatever the PS5 Pro 0.25, whatever they call it, is. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's been a strange, I think, successful but frustrating first year in that regard, especially. And I'm very curious to see how they continue to address things as we go on forward into the next year. I am going to pause right there because if you haven't been able to hear it, Loki is screaming in pain because my girlfriend had to leave and he is very sad. So I'm just going to go give him food to comfort him. And I'll be back in just a second. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries.
I say we just keep the podcast going. Yeah, it's just me and Jada now.
You want to just keep going, Jada? Say the PlayStation things, yeah. Red. I guess don't cut any of this out. But any audio listeners just know Loki is not in any real pain. He is just very sad and misses his mom.
All right.
That's great. Right. Good to hear. Go take care of Loki. I guess I'll segue into some of our community stuff here. Because, we put out a post yesterday on Twitter asking people what their thoughts were on our PS5 lineup. And so we'll go to the first one. Austin Bird Person, at Austin Birdman. I had to put that in there purely because of the name, but also your comment was great and I loved it. I felt very privileged to have gotten to play the PS5 lineup as it comes out. I've had so much fun from zooming around snowy New York as Miles to exploring death in Atropos as Selene. I'm currently playing through the Vanguard campaign and I can't wait to see what it holds. Mark, you've played Miles Morales, right?
I love Miles Morales so much. And I miss that game. I've been thinking about it a lot recently because it's really hard for me. Jada, I don't know if you have this problem, but I find myself going back to games that I haven't platinumed because even if it's this weird thing where I'm like, maybe I'll get the urge to platinum it this time. Mm-hmm. But Miles Morales, you know, platinum that game
right
almost
off the
instantly
bat.
Yep. Because it's you know, it's a very, it's not that hard of a platinum. And so I'm trying to like reason with myself, why should I play it again? And the answer is because it's a really good game, you dummy. Like, yep. Like I'm like, but I already have the platinum, and I'm like, who cares? Like, it's a really good game. You should go back and want to just play it. Especially since they came out with, after I played it, they came out with the performance ray tracing mode. So it looks even better than it did.
Yeah, I was watching my partner play it, and he played it after the update, but I played it before the update. So I've got to see the full, like, kind of difference. And I'm like, why does it look so much better? Oh, yeah, the update. Like, gosh, mm-hmm. darn it. Now I need to go back and replay this game again because I love the game. Miles Morales was an amazing Spider-Man game, and now I have more reason to go back and play it. My issue is I try to play everything. I'm a very much of a variety gamer where I try to play everything I can that comes out. And so now that I've gotten the platinum in it, it's hard for me to justify another reason to go back and play that over playing something new that just dropped.
Right. Like, that's what I'm saying. Is like, why would I play this over? I mean, this is coming from the person that is eagerly anticipating tomorrow's Skyrim patch and GTA trilogy remaster. So who do I have to
before they delayed everything, there was a small window where Elder Scrolls 5, Skyrim, The Witcher 3, and GTA 5 were all going to be released in November.
I remember
and
that.
Cyberpunk.
It was really close. Yes.
Well, and I don't know if they ever like fully said, but like Cyberpunk was supposed to be holiday.
They were aiming. Yeah. But that small window of like old nostalgia is just so funny. But no, I'm very much with you in terms of one. Obviously, I was still listening. But man, yeah, Miles is so great. I'm definitely going to go back for Christmas because it is, you know, it's set
exactly.
It's a Christmas game.
That's what like hit me is I got it. And it's like, what, that game couldn't have been more perfect, right? It came out, it's on this new console. It looks gorgeous and it's Christmas and we're all playing it during Christmas time. Like,
yeah,
that is like going to be like the nostalgia PS5 game for me. Also, I don't want to just say this just because it's like because we're talking about Miles Morales. I've said this all year. Am I the only person that liked Miles Morales more than Spider-Man?
I think Miles Morales is a better game. Yes, easily.
I agree. Okay. I think
I never know if that's like a controversial opinion. I like his powers more, and I think it's a tighter story. And then I like the setting. I love the Christmas setting.
So my thing first on the Christmas thing, I do just want to say, especially I like having lived in New York and Christmas time is my favorite time there. It is my thing now that I'm like, oh, I just need to go visit New York every Christmas. I can just go play it if I can't travel back home. But no, I very much think having also been the person who reviewed both of them and gave Miles Morales a slightly higher score. Granted, we didn't have the 100-point system at that time. But I think Miles, as you said, it's a tighter package. It definitely obviously builds on the foundation that everything, you know, Spider-Man created. And so it owes that game obviously so much, but I think their focus and attention on the main story being a little bit smaller and the side content being more involved in Miles's life made it all feel a bit more purposeful. Whereas like I enjoyed Spider-Man so much, but at the end of the day, some of the side stuff got very repetitive.
Yep.
And there were a few highlights in there. There was like, a couple side stories in the first Spider-Man that I think showed what side content could be, but not everything was like, and obviously it was the first game. They have time to iterate. I can't wait to see what Spider-Man 2 does, but no, I think Miles Morales is a package I want to revisit more than the first one right now.
That said, I think we can all agree that the first Spider-Man game is also incredible.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's amazing. We're comparing two amazing games. Yeah.
And you know, to finish off that point, Mark, you know, having that same problem about going back to games, Marvel's Avengers is one of those games. Like, I really want to go back and play the Black Panther stuff. I want to go back and play Spider-Man at the end of the month, but I already have the platinum. So every time I've gone to boot it up, I'm like, but I have this other game to play that I haven't finished yet. I should go play this and get trophies in that, or just finish the story. You know, if nothing else,
podcast is hosted by a dog now.
Yep, Loki.
He'll be speaking for me going forward.
I'll have to bring Atreus on next time and they can meet.
Yes.
you know, screen to screen. Exactly. But that brings me to another community comment from Alexander M. Collins at Filmmaker AMC. I thought my PS5 would be a jump into the future of gaming, but instead it gave it a second life to old games from PS4. I had quit on Cyberpunk, Control, and Marvel's Avengers. However, the updates to speed, load times allowed me to enjoy these games without hesitation. And so, like, I totally 100% agree. We touched about that on that a little bit earlier in the show, and good call out.
Yeah, my favorite thing has been
games getting patches. I played so much like Division 2 when it got its PS5 patch. I'm going to play a lot of Skyrim tomorrow, you know, that once it gets its patch. Like, I love when games get their patches.
Yeah, I think it's a thing that especially, you know, obviously everyone is looking forward to the point when it's just we're only getting new PS5 games and there's not a lot of cross-gen stuff. But my God, are there so many games from last generation that I still need to play or finish or platinum or revisit, and it's like these patches are a perfect excuse to do that.
Yep.
Yep.
Do we want to pull any more?
Yeah.
I got a couple.
Let's go for the last couple comments.
All right, cool. So that Matt at that Matt 85. I know I was warned about how it wasn't going to feel like much of an upgrade over the PS4 compared to the other generational upgrades, what we talked about earlier. But that is what my first thoughts were. I've played some nice looking games at high frame rates, but they seem like minor upgrades. Yeah, we touched about, you know, Jonathan was talking about that, you know, we get diminished returns on upgrades. There's only so much that graphically that they can make the leap as time moves on until the technology is there to catch up, which I think that's why they're focusing so much on the kind of tangential stuff, the audio, the haptic feedback. And I think that's, you know, and I think it's totally fair. But I think we'll start seeing a lot more better stuff as a lot better stuff as time moves on, you know.
As Mark said, like, you know, PS3 generation Uncharted 1 to Last of Us is quite a leap, and we saw leaps like that in the PS4. Even like Killzone Shadowfall looked beautiful at launch, and then you see some of The Last of Us Part 2 and Ghost of Tsushima, and it's just unreal the level of detail that started to go into those games. I expect we'll see things like that this generation, but yeah, I do think like going in with somewhat tempered expectations is a good thing. And I do not know if this is controversial. I do think it is to some of our audience, but I genuinely think at this point games look pretty damn great, and I just want them to focus on making good games. Like, I really don't need games to look much better than they do. I just want them to run well, be very interesting and fun to play, and be well designed. And like, I am fine if we're sort of at a peak for a little bit, but I'm sure they'll continue to push it. But like, That's just fallen down the list since we've gotten such pretty games.
100%. Yeah, I think the number one importance for me when it comes to games is, does it have a great story? Does it have interesting characters? And is the like the combat or the main mechanic of the game enjoyable? If it's got those three things, I'm sold on the game. Sam Croese, I think I'm pronouncing that right, at Sam_Croese, had mine since launch day, and it's never skipped a beat. After one full year and hundreds of hours of games, I'm yet to hear the fan. It's been awesome. That was something, you know, that happened a lot during what the PS4, you know, those airplane jets.
Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, I haven't, mine's purring like very quietly anytime I have it on, and I play 6 to 7 hours a day. So.
Yeah,
PS4
Pro, I would just always play with headphones on because it would get so loud that it would, you know, you'd have to crank up the TV, and it's annoying. The only problem I have with my PS5, and I know that this is a widespread thing, is if a disc is sitting in it, even if I'm not using the disc every so often, I think they put out an update where it doesn't do it as much, but you'll hear the disc spin up. And it'll start making noise, and you're like, what? I'm playing a digital, like, bro, why is my Titanic DVD going crazy in there? Like, calm down.
I know that's true, because I've seen you been tweeting about Titanic. So, yeah, no, I totally agree with you. It is a very weird thing there, but my God, I was reviewing The Last of Us Part 2, and I think I had my volume on my TV, like, double the volume so that I could hear it over my PS4 Pro back at the, you know, at that point in time, and then... To go to the PS5, I know it was a very old joke and constantly used for the PS4, but it was so true. And to have that now where it is just pretty quiet is a godsend. Yep. It is so fundamentally important and hopefully doesn't change as the generation goes on. That's my only worry, is that like, well, things are running well now because so much of it is still stuff that was cross-gen or things that are still relatively based in designs from last gen. I hope the advancements we see don't force it to be louder.
Have you guys opened yours to like clean it out now that it's been, you know, about a year?
I need to. I haven't. Mm-hmm. I opened it up at launch to look at it, but I haven't since then. Yeah.
Yeah. Hold it's. Off. I was just going to say, if you've done it, you know that it's like it's super easy. The hardest part about how is my PS4s and the PS5s in the back there is it stands up vertically, which means I have to take the stand off every time I want to open it. But I opened it to put the SSD in it. And I was like, well, while I'm under the hood, let's get this sucker cleaned out nice and fresh. And so I should be good for a little bit, but
best time to do it.
Not scary now that I've done it once.
I've only pulled off my faceplates and like dusted it and kind of cleaned it. That's pretty much the extent. I haven't done a full deep cleaning, but we're hitting that 1 year point. So it's time for its bath.
All of our warranties are expiring.
Very true. Time for its bath. Maybe don't actually give it a real bath. Just a warning.
Yes, please do not put your PS5
your
in
warranty
water.
Is expiring. Don't submerge it in water.
Really don't need a lawsuit to be on right now. But yeah, it's something that there have been, you know, I do want to sort of get final thoughts. But for me, at least, I think the advancements have been not like revolutionary, you know, bullet points of here's the defining things that have changed in this generation, but it's been a pretty solid first year. Like, I think overall we've gotten some really great games. Yes, a lot has still been cross-gen. We're waiting for that new stuff. But like, at least for me, between updates, my backlog, and genuinely new games, I haven't been lacking for things to play this generation. You know, if I was lacking for things to play PS5 only, yes, I guess I could say that, but I'm still playing Returnal. I'm still absorbed in that. I can't wait to go back to, you know, Miles Morales on PS5 and all that. And yeah,
I have more games right now than I have time to play, for sure.
Yeah,
I have more games that I'll ever have time to play in my lifetime. So
yep. Sounds about right. That's the thing that, especially as we go into next year, and we were joking at the beginning, the lineup looks amazing. But, you know, if and when things get delayed, one, do not ever be rude to developers about that. They are working to make incredible things, and never use that as an excuse to get mad. But two, I'm okay if they need to take more time. I've still got so much to play. It's okay.
Please take their time.
But before we move on, any sort of final thoughts about this first year, anything we didn't get to that you want to shed out, any just major sort of wrap up thoughts, Jade, I'll start with you.
I mean, I think I pretty much covered it. I think it's, you know, I don't think I had more than maybe a month of downtime where I was like, kind of like, what do I play right now? And that's, you know, the beauty of owning a PC, a Switch, and an Xbox is I just was like, yeah, it's a good time to, good reason to go play something else somewhere else for a little bit of time and, you know, pay some attention to something that I've maybe put off or put on hold. So if you're out there and you're, you know, struggling to find something to play on PS5, you know, look through your backlog, look through backwards compatible stuff, and or, you know, give any of your other consoles some love. You know, it's okay to cheat on your PS5 for a month or two. It's okay.
How dare you, Jada?
Yeah.
Mark, any other closing thoughts before we move on?
Yeah, no, it's just, you know, it's as people that work full time, right, and try to fit in other activities, that to me, there are just more games than I know what to do with, right? So for me, like, to think that this year was slow, even with all the delays and stuff like that, it's crazy. Like, to me, there's still so many games that I'm currently juggling like six different games that I feel like I'm never going to finish. But yeah, no, I love the PS5. I think it can use some work UI wise. Like, I think the game base is still pretty funky, but I think we're going to get there in time. But if this is the console, even if they don't ever make a PS5 Pro, like I'm with you, Dornbush, when you talk about graphics, like I think I've definitely hit this point where I'm like, yep, these games look great. I just want them to feel good. And I want them to tell really cool stories and have really fun gameplay. And so far, the PS5 has delivered on that. So, yeah, I am very happy with the console and I can't wait for next year because there are a lot of video games coming out.
It is a lot of video games to look forward to. Yeah. And whether you're on PS4 or PS5, I think next year is definitely going to still be a good year regardless. Things will probably run better on PS5. Yes. But it's a nonstop potential year and we're going to have a lot to talk about. But that is sort of the first year of the PlayStation 5. I think a pretty solid first year, especially, you know, considering the world around us right now. Thank you to everyone who wrote in. Jada was obviously reading comments from everyone who replied to me on Twitter. Thank you to everyone who wrote in with their thoughts. And again, our apologies to everyone who still cannot get their hands on these things. We want everyone to be able to, because we like talking about it, and we want to be able to have everyone understand that experience and be able to share in it. So hopefully more consoles can get out there into correct, like, good hands, not resellers, sooner than later. And hopefully we can all talk about all the awesome games coming out next year. But before we get to all of the awesome games coming out next year, we are still playing some stuff from this year. And yep. Mark, I'll start with you. Obviously, I know there's a certain non-PlayStation game you've been playing, and I started it last night too. But what have you been playing, and what's been dominating your time?
Forza Horizon 5. What a video monster. Game. Oh my gosh. I cannot. Someone set a timer. I'm only allowed to talk about this game 37 and a half seconds. Go. Forza Horizon 5 is so good. It's probably my game of the year. It is one of the prettiest games I've ever played. I loved Forza Horizon 4 and 5.
27 seconds.
I think 5 just improves on. Oh, look at that. We even got the B-roll. Yeah, I think this game's great. And it's I tweeted this morning. Forza Horizon 5 is one of these rare moments where everybody playing this game is just like sharing screenshots and sharing their, you know, times and stuff like that. And they're just talking about how much they love the game. And I love times like this, because it's these magical times where it's like, there's no wars. There's nothing bad's happening. Everyone's just playing this game and they're all just like loving it. And that's honestly what I love most about the game right now, is it's like, it's just a joyous time. I love this game.
Yeah. Everyone, is very, yeah, sorry, very happy. No, I was going to say, just everyone is very like happy around it. And I do want to say like a thing that obviously we've said on the show before, but like, I am happy when Microsoft is doing well, because it only causes both Microsoft and PlayStation to want to do better. Yep. And as someone who, you know, had an Xbox 360, played the hell out of it, had an original Xbox, played the hell out of it, didn't play my Xbox One much, like, I'm so glad that we have a space where Forza and Halo are coming out in such a short span. And then next year we get Horizon and God of War on PlayStation and Gran Turismo. Like, it's this back and forth, and it's great to see both of them thriving, because it's only better for the audience at the end of the day.
Yeah, 100%. It's hard to not like pay the dues, right? Like, I have both consoles. I'm primarily a PlayStation person. Like, I've gone months without turning on my Series X. That's just because if it's multi-platform, I play on PlayStation or PC. And with Xbox kind of like owning this like fall season, right, with Forza and Halo, like, it's hard to not like be like, sorry, on this PlayStation podcast, I'm going to talk about this great Xbox game I'm playing. But yeah, Forza is great. But to bring it back to the PlayStation side, I never played Knockout City when it came out back in May, but I heard it was very good. And then it was a free PlayStation Plus game. And wow, I can't believe how much I am enjoying that game. It's really, really fun. We played online a bunch, and it was just a really, really good time. And we were able to get like 7 people in a lobby all together, all friends, all on the mic. Jada is one of them. And we all just like had all of us just like screaming at each other and playing this like silly dodgeball game. I love Knockout City. Like, I'm very sad I did not play it when it first came out, because I'm having so much fun, and I feel like I missed the train. But that's a great thing about PlayStation Plus, is it gives you, it gives games a second life. And so it's like, I'm not having trouble finding lobbies or anything, but Knockout City is very, very good.
Yeah, especially for such a, you know, multiplayer focused game. These are the sorts of things that I associate now more than ever with PlayStation Plus, is like, you know, the Rocket Leagues, the Fall Guys. I was surprised when this came out and it wasn't a PlayStation Plus launch game, but, you know, it might be because it's EA and obviously they have all their stuff going on. But I still need to jump in, but I'm very happy to hear you were liking it. Is there anything specific about, like, is it a certain mode or the mechanics or just sort of the like spirit of it? Like, what's been grabbing you?
I think what I love about it is we played for a couple of nights and got the feel of the game. And then we played, Jada was there. Jada had played it before, but there was 2 people in our group that had never played it. And one of them, our friend Cosma, destroyed us. Like, she just understood the game. She got it, and she just like destroyed us. And like, it's one of those, like, it's just so easy to, once you get it, you're like, oh, I got it. And like a shooter, like Call of Duty, if one person goes up against like three people, there's a good chance you're going to lose. Where in a game like Knockout City, you actually have a chance to do like a team wipe on your own. It's all about reflexes. And if you get in that zone, like, it's one of those things where you throw a dodgeball at someone and they push L2 and they can catch it. And there's been so many times where somebody was like running in front of me. I threw a dodgeball. They turned around and caught it, where I was like, oh, like, what are the odds that you would do that? Like, that was amazing. I've been so impressed on how other people have been able to play the game. I think that's what's getting me the most, is it's just good, clean fun.
Yep. Good,
clean fun.
That was me, by the way. I turned around and caught it on you.
Jade is a beast.
I'd expect nothing less.
We went in and we were like, all right, IGN gang, right? Because me and Jada, you know, we're the only IGN people there. And so we're like, yeah, we're the IGN gang. That lasted one game. And then Jada,
I literally randomized my team, and it was blue and gold, and I prefer gold, so I stuck with gold most of the time. So I like to think that Mark just didn't want to play with me.
Oh my god.
But he did invite me to the session, so we'll play some more and we'll be able to tag team up, and you know, maybe we can get you and Jonathan, and us three can go in stomp some pub matches.
We'll see. Yeah, you both will have to carry me. But yeah, I definitely want to try sometime soon. Jada, what else have you been playing besides?
You know, Ghost of Tsushima was one of those kind of games that I kind of put on the back burner because they announced the PS5 edition when I was probably about 2/3 of the way through the PS4 version of it. So I paused that, and I finally have been going back and finishing it. I got my platinum trophy along with for that and Guardians over the weekend. Ghost of Tsushima is such a great ending. I loved the story. The gameplay was so good. I still got to go back and do the Iki Island expansion. I went there early and got the one of the new abilities for my horse and one of the new armors, because I experienced those previously, and so I was like, I want those for my character. So I went and got those, and then jumped right back into the story and went through the game. I don't know if that kind of affected the difficulty a little bit, because the new armor is really strong, but it was a lot of fun. I mean, the big thing is it's the new armor. It's the Sarugami armor, and basically if you get a perfect counter, you get three like uninterrupted strikes. So like, it really helps for if you're good at perfect parries. If you're not good at the perfect parries, it's not going to do anything for you. And I believe it removes like the ability to regular parry. I'll have to double check that. But so it, you know, the window is bigger, but if you miss that window, you're just kind of left open. So it's kind of a, you know, risk reward situation. But yeah, I've been playing a lot of that. I rolled credits and platinum on Guardians of the Galaxy.
Nice.
Amazing game. I played through it a second time, and I did complete opposite dialogue choices just to see what they were. Even knowing that it's like, this is the wrong decision. I should totally let Gamora do her thing, but I chased her off and messed up her plan, and she was mad at me the whole time on the ship until the next mission. She just did not want to talk to me. And I love that
the game did something like that.
Basically. But it's not even, you know, Paragon Renegade black and white with Guardians. It's just literally different how the characters react to you differently. It's a lot more. And then I've just rolled credits on the Vanguard campaign on Veteran last night. Nice. One of the better Call of Duty campaigns. It's shorter than most, but every level is very memorable. I only had one level I didn't enjoy, which was like the Battle of Midway, which is has you in a plane. And it just didn't feel like it was as polished as the sniper levels or the level on the train and stuff like that. So, but I really liked Vanguard. I'm going to be jumping into the multiplayer and zombies over the weekend to check that out. But the campaign is wrapped. So
nice. How was the Guardians Platinum?
Pretty easy. The biggest thing is just finding a lot of the lore and characters and stuff like that you can miss on one playthrough. Like, I totally didn't go into Tivan's Collector's Emporium my first playthrough. So I missed like 20 pieces of lore. But yeah, really cool stuff in, you know, just getting to experience a different side of the story and some of the branching paths in the missions by taking different dialogue options. Like you saw in the trailer, you know, who do you sell, Rocket or Groot? You know, depending on who you choose, the next level changes. Still end up the same end result for the most part. But and I got a package. I think that's my Lapras plush that I ordered. Anyways, but yeah,
not in the video game, in real life, just for clarity's sake.
No, totally. I'm going surfing on my Lapras in San Francisco Bay. Okay. but no, yeah, I love Guardians. I highly recommend it to anybody who's thinking about it. The combat is fun. The story is great. The dialogue is some of the best I've seen in games. And the soundtrack is full of bangers. The soundtrack is amazing. Yeah, so
it's a very fun soundtrack. I still need to finish it, but I'm looking forward to it. I was spending most of my past week in another space setting playing Returnal because I was not fortunate enough or skilled enough to beat it as quickly as Jada did. And so I've been going back in my run and finally rolled credits, but of course only on Act 2 because there is an Act 3 to that game that's hidden behind it. I'm going through my Act 3 run now. But man, I love that game. I'm so happy I came back to it. It is so good. Housemarque did such a great job with it. It looks gorgeous. Being like, as you were saying earlier, Mark, like being in that world with the 3D audio and the DualSense is so immersive and so fun. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I can't wait to see what Housemarque does from here. Like, this is such a new journey for them and a new chapter, especially now being a PlayStation first party studio. And if Returnal is the first step in whatever this new chapter is for them, I can't wait to see where they go from here, because I've loved all their older stuff. Mark, I know you're a fan of their older stuff as well. But yeah, like to see them evolve this way, I can't wait to see where they go next. I do not know what video we're pulling from. There was a strange man.
That was very weird. I remember after Nex Machina and what was it?
Resogun?
Not Resogun. The one after Nex Machina. The side-scrolling one.
Yeah. Oh man, anyways, I'm blanking.
I remember, you know, it was like almost heartbreaking that they're like, you know, we're going to have to change our strategy basically on, you know, what we make. Matterfall was the game I was thinking of. And so then they announced like that they are working on a bigger AAA. And then there was this weird rumor that it was going to be a multiplayer game. And I'm like, oh no, like, are we losing like that Housemarque? Like, the, you know, Alienation is one of my favorite games of all time, and Nex Machina and Resogun. And I was like, are we losing that? And then you get this and you're like, oh no, we did not lose that. We just got a 3D version of like what they do best. Like, yeah, Returnal's great.
We even saw some of that game. That was a Storm Divers. They were going to do a battle game. Yeah, they showed a little bit of that game. I don't know if it ever hit like early access or anything, but it essentially like went on hiatus and then they went dark for a bit, and Returnal was what came out after that. And I'm so glad that they like found a way to channel their arcade roots, but clearly use some of the work they were doing in developing more like third person action sort of experiences. Mm-hmm. It's such a blast. If you're getting a PS5 for this holiday, or even if you don't know you're getting one, if it's a present, please go check out Returnal. It is such a great game, even though it can be very hard. But yeah, the new suspense cycle, the only thing I wanted to mention was I am so grateful it's in the game, because my winning run, I was playing it one night, paused the game, used the suspense cycle feature, put my PS4 to rest, or PS5 to rest. Our power went out overnight. And then I woke up the next morning, I got that really grumpy, like, you shut off your PS5 wrong. The lights weren't on in the correct manner, you jerk. And I'm like, oh my God, stop it. And I turned it back on and Returnal was right where I left it. Like I opened it back up. It was totally fine. I was able to win the game that run. It was so amazing.
What gun did you clear it with?
Okay. So in the very end, I was on a Hollow Seeker.
That's the gun. That is the gun to use. The Hollow Seeker is so amazing. My winning run, when I cleared my first clear on Act 2, I got the Hollow Seeker, and I had both of the turret upgrades on it. So I had both the portal gun and the turret gun. So I had like a laser beam firing at anything I shot, and then just another portal shooting bullets just randomly at my enemies. And it was so just overpowered and broken. So see the Hollow Seeker? Level that up.
It's wild. It's one of those guns. I saw a couple people when I was tweeting about Returnal who were saying like the Hollow Seeker, they never paid much mind because every bullet is technically a little bit weaker. But like the amount of accumulative damage you can do with it is just so impactful while letting you still be able to kind of like bounce around and do things and whatnot. So yeah, I can't recommend it enough. That gun, but also just Returnal. But other than that, that is pretty much going to do it for this week's episode of Podcast Beyond. Jada and Mark, thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode. Anything you want to shout out people to work-wise or on IGN or anything just to give people a heads up about?
Yeah, I'm going to be jumping on our IGN Eternal Spaces. We're going to be talking about Spaces on Twitter today at 2 p.m. I guess, you know, by the time this goes live, though, that will be beforehand. So you'll miss this. So but we do Spaces on Tuesdays where we talk about games and Wednesdays where we talk about all the latest Marvel. We'll be doing shows throughout November and December for Hawkeye as well as Spider-Man. So keep an eye out for that since you're going to probably miss this Eternals one. But yeah, that, and then other than that, hit me up on my office hours, which is 12:30 to 2 p.m. on pretty much all the platforms, social platforms. Just ping me at Jade Arena or ping at IGN and I will usually get to your response.
Awesome. And Mark, anything on your end you want to shout people to?
I'll plug something old. If you have played Returnal and you've beaten it, you should go watch the devs react we did for it, because Housemarque, yes, they are just wonderful.
Yeah.
And so you should go watch that episode. That's it. That's it cool. For me.
Well, thank you again to both of you so much for joining me for this week's episode. Thank you to Red, our producer, for making the show happen. And thank you to the three of you for dealing with me as I had to go tend to this yippy boy who was very, very sad about things. And thank you to everyone out there for listening and or watching. We hope you're safe. We hope you're well. And as always, beyond.
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 Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.